So today is part four in our series, the final message on love reigns. On Easter Sunday, we launched this, and Easter was a demonstration of God's love for us. It was an action-packed deal when Jesus gave his life on the cross. And when he did that, Jesus defeated death, sin was disarmed, love was demonstrated. The week after that, we looked at how love can reign over our past. You see, our past does not have to define our future. Neither does our past have to weigh us down. And the way we get free of it is when we trust in and believe in the forgiving love of Jesus and what he says he'll do for us as we lean into his mercy and grace. So last week, we talked about how love can reign over the present. And when we looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said this. He says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, that you, in view of God's mercy. Let me stop there. You know how to do life. You want to do it in light of God's mercy. If you want the best possible future you can have, you got to lean into his mercy and his grace, and he will do something in you and for you that'll make you a bit more fulfilled person. And so that we found God's mercy is his goal for the soul, and we just have to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, trade our will for his, and love will reign over the present. All right. Today is part four. And I want to talk about how love can reign over our futures. How can the love of God that was demonstrated on the cross reign over our futures going forward? That's our theme for the day. So read with me in your notes the words of Jesus for these two paragraphs printed in your bulletin. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I want to go back to verse 5. Here's what it says. Jesus says, without him, we can do nothing. If you're here this morning and life is in a hard spot for you, can I tell you there's only one way going forward to find relief? It's when we establish a relationship with the one that can do the impossible in us and through us. Otherwise, we are pretty much on our own in our own strength. And Jesus says this, without me, without this connection, you and I are basically dead in the water. He goes on to say this, as the Father loved him, so does he love us. Now, we would all agree that the love between the Father and Son is immense. That's who God is. But Jesus went on to say that the love the Father had for him is the same love that he has for us. Let that one soak into your heart. And he says, if you will remain in that love connection, if we stay close communication and connection with him, he says, your future can be an amazing future marked by his love as we live our life. So this key insight, he says, if you will obey my commands. In other words, there are some things we need to do to position ourselves before God and before Christ to literally live our most meaningful life. Now, he talks about the vine and the branches. We get that. It's a metaphor. He is the vine. We're the branch. The nutrients to the branch flow from the stalk or the vine. And when we stay connected to him, the love that the Father has for him is the same love that flows into our hearts if we abide and remain connected in him. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share three simple thoughts about how love can reign over our futures and practical ways that if you and I stay connected in this way to the vine, let me tell you, our futures will be marked by God's love flowing in us and through us. So take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Number one, the first thing is this. How can God's love reign over our future? We must exchange our worry for trust. We must exchange the worries and the anxieties of life for something called trust. Read with me the couple of verses in your notes at the bottom. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We live in a day and age where anxiety levels are high, where the sense of worry can consume us. You know, we turn on the news or on social media, and we hear about the wars in Ukraine and Russia, Iran and Israel kind of going back and forth. We hear about the shootings throughout America. We read about and hear about all kinds of stuff. The worry and anxiety factor of life can go high. Someone has said that 3/4 of all visits to primary care physicians are stress related. 3/4. It's probably true, isn't it? We live in a compressed, fast-paced society, and we just sometimes feel smothered and literally consumed. The worry level goes up. But I want us to understand, God has a remedy for our worry if we want to exercise it. Backside to your sermon listening guide. Here's what Jesus said. This is just before he went to the back to the Father, and he was about to die, and he's going to go to heaven. Here's what he told his disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Let me stop here. If you have a troubled heart this morning in any area, I mean troubled, you're worried. There's something here for you. Here's what it is. When we trust his word, it untroubles a troubled heart. When you and I put trust in Jesus and in God and what he says, it untroubles a troubled heart. The psalmist or the Proverbs writer said this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding when you can't figure it out. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Trust untroubles a troubled heart. Now, what's neat in the book of Philippians, God has an exchange program. And when we give him something, he gives us something back. And this is the secret of allowing love to flow in your life, because worry chokes love. If you and I are high worriers about stuff and we don't get a handle on it, it chokes us. It just cuts off the flow of oxygen. It, spiritually speaking, it just shuts us down. And so Paul says there's an exchange program. We give something to God and he gives something else back. So let's read Philippians 4, 6b and 7 in your notes. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's how it works. If you and I are worried about something, and that happens to us all, we then take it to prayer. And through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we present it to God. Now, here's what he does. We give something to him, and Paul says, and the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. An exchange will take place. Now listen, if we never take advantage of the exchange, we won't get what the Father wants to give us. So we have to present our worry, our sense of being anxiety-filled, whatever it might be, we present it to God and say, God, I want to trust. And when we get to that place, he deposits peace in exchange for our worry. I came across something by David Rumley. Here's what he said. At the cross, Christ exchanges lives with us. Here's what he does. We give him our vulnerability. He gives us his victory. We give him our weakness. He gives us his strength. We give him our unworthiness. He gives us a sense of worthiness. We give him our unrighteousness. He gives us his righteousness. We give him our worry, and he gives us his peace as we trust him. There's this exchange, this handoff. We give him something, he gives us something back. And the secret of a love that can reign in your future is if we daily practice the handoff, the sense of exchange that God wants to give to us. Here's a couple quotes. Let me read it for you. Your perspective will either become your prison or your passport. Let me stop. You're here this morning, and you've got stuff in your life. Your perspective on the stuff, your worry, whatever it is, it's either going to become your prison or it'll become your passport. The passport is when we exchange the stuff in our life for what Christ wants to do for us through prayer. Here's another picture. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That's so true, isn't it? There's enough sorrow out there for tomorrow. But what worry does to us today, it takes our strength. It sucks the life out of it. And the more we get a handle on the worry factor and this sense of, this sense of anxiety, the more we can surrender that and we do the exchange. He brings healing into our life. And all of a sudden, we're at peace, even though we might still be in that situation. So that's point number one. Exchange your worry for this high trust, and God will give you his peace. Number two, the second point is this. You and I must prioritize God in our life. If you want love to reign in your future, you got to prioritize him. It's in your notes. Let me give you a definition of priority. It's a predetermined decision. So, we all make choices. Like if you got a job and you have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know if that's your paycheck, you gotta get there at 8. Now you don't want to get there late too often because that can work against you. You make a decision in advance, you're gonna show up for work. It's a predetermined choice. If you have a kid's sporting event at the field at 4 o'clock and you wanna that's a priority for you, you're gonna be there. You make a decision in advance that that's important to you, and you're gonna do your best to get there. Now, read with me Matthew 6:33 in your notes. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I want to talk to you about what you and I need to prioritize in our life. There's a lot of demands out there in the world we live in. But Jesus said this, if you and I seek him first, if we prioritize him, you know what he'll do for us? It's in the notes. It's in the verse, the promise. All these other things will be added or given to us. For people here that have been in the faith for many years, you totally understand that. You have prioritized God in your life, in your giving, your attendance, your service. And you know how God can backfill all the good stuff in life. That's who he is. On the other hand, if we have a predetermined decision or priority to not prioritize God, over time, it will just catch up with us, and it can be an empty life. Let me tell you three things we need to prioritize. Letter A in your notes. Your daily devotional time with God. I hope that you are taking maybe 10 or 15 minutes a day, morning or whenever it works for you, in which you intentionally get into God's presence and just read his word and pray. If you and I do that, it says all the other things of life will be added or given to us, is how God works. We prioritize God every day. Now, here's another one. B, attending church. I got to commend you for coming this morning. Now, for hopefully many, if not all, you made a predetermined decision earlier in the week that you were going to come. Now, I won't ask for a raise of hands. Maybe you just made it this morning. I don't know. But the point is this. Here's what I realized. I love to talk with young people about church. And here's what I tell them. You can stay out as long as you like on Saturday night. But you still got to go to church. You can get home at 1 or 2 in the morning. You can play video games till 1 or 2 in the morning. Go for it. But I'll tell you what. Predetermined decision, you're going to be in church the next day. You know why? God honors that. God honors that. And so God honors people who make a decision in advance of a Sunday morning, unless you're sick or something. You say, you know what? I'm going to church. You know why? It's a priority. And God will take any life, one person, and it says if that one person honors him, and the weekly flow, daily devotionals, you have a sense of Sunday, I need to go to church. You know what? It's a priority. You know what God will do with that life? He says all other things, the blessings of God, will flow out of that one decision. The love in your life will increase. It will be magnified and it'll multiply all because you're honoring him. And I want to commend you as a church family for your faithfulness to Sunday morning. You know what people are doing this morning? Some are sleeping. Some are at sporting events. I mean, they're shopping. They're doing all kinds of things. But God always honors a life who puts him as a priority. He says, I'm going to do this first, and then I'll do the other stuff. And so Jesus says, hey, honor God the Father. Seek his kingdom first. Let her see, the third thing that you can prioritize is this, a midweek engagement. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometime during the week, whether it's coming out to soup on Tuesdays or a life group during the week, a study in someone's home or Operation Christmas Child, maybe Grief Share or the kids programs on Wednesday or the Young at Heart group, listen, find a way to engage somewhere, someplace during the week. You know why? You're prioritizing him. Many people will just come to church on Sunday. You don't see him the rest of the week. They live their week kind of apart from him, but they're back on Sunday. Now, sometimes busyness of life pulls us away, but the important thing is this. Make a prioritized, predetermined decision of what's most important to you. Here's a quote. If it's a priority, you'll find a way. If it isn't, you'll find an excuse. Isn't that true? If it's a priority to be to a game at a certain time, you're going to be there. But if it's not, you can find an excuse why it won't go. Same thing with church. If it's a priority, you're going to find a way. or a decision to be in a family gathering, or whatever it might be, if you make it a priority, you're going to find a way. If it isn't a priority, you'll find an excuse. And here's the last quote on this one. The first step to success is knowing your priorities. Let me stop right there. When you think of your own life, in the 7 days, if God gives us a full week, what are the priorities on your life of how you want to honor him in your relationship with God? And so we all have to decide that and determine that. But number one, for love to reign over your future, exchange your worry for his trust and peace. Worry chokes peace, and we need to deal with worry. All right, number two, prioritize God in your life. Put him first, and all the rest will fall into place. Number three, I love this one. The third truth is this: live in the overflow of his love in your life. Live in the overflow. Read with me Psalm 23:6 in your notes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Here's what David said. David says, my life is like a cup, and I want to honor God. And he says, God anoints my cup. He fills my cup, so much so my cup overflows. You know, when you get a cup of coffee or hot chocolate or even water and somebody's filling it up and it goes over, it's just more than you can contain within the actual object. But we find here that we need to live in this overflow. There's a verse in your at the bottom of your sermon listing guide. I've read it before, but the last week or two, it's meant a lot to me. Let's read it together. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. Like a river, it flowed into the desert. So when I read this verse, it's about when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They're in the desert, and they're thirsty, and there's no water. God is the God of the supernatural impossible. And they came upon some place that must have had a rock there. God opened a rock, and water gushed out. So much so, it says that it, like a river, it flowed in the desert. In other words, God brought water out of a rock to help quench someone's thirst. You may be here this morning, and you might feel like your life is a rock. You have a sense of like, it's hard. It's a difficult spot. Listen, you are a candidate this morning for God to open up a river to flow from you and through you, even if you feel like it's a rock. You know why? That's what he does. He will take the hearts of rock, and if we give it to him, he can create water to gush out like a river. Now, I'm going to share a few quotes with you. Here's the first one. You can't pour from an empty cup. If you're here this morning, and maybe God hasn't been the priority of your life, your cup is probably partially full. It's not totally full. And the challenge of this is this. You can't pour from an empty cup. People experience your life based on how full your cup is. If it's on the shallow side, they're getting the shallow part of us. On the other hand, if the cup is full, they're getting the overflow. You know what? I think they'll want to be around you. That's what, when you live in the overflow, there's something attractive about a life. It's the love of God flowing out of that person that you're drawn to, you're attracted to. But you can't pour out your life to other people if your own cup is empty. Now here's the next one. God desires to overflow you with his abundance. His abundance. His Spirit, His love, His mercy, His grace, even financial supply. I mean, God promises an abundance. That's who He is. He's an abundance-minded God, and He wants to fill your life and your cup with many good things to the place where it overflows. You know why? People are attracted to hearts that overflow with love. The world needs people, Christians like you and me, that are willing to say, I want to live in my overflow. I want Him to have His way. Now, here's another picture. Your life is that cup. He's the one that pours into it. Now, I have to share this. When you and I live in the overflow, listen, your marriage can be better. You know why? You don't take offense as easy. If your cup is thin and partially full, let me tell you, you may be very touchy. That's the way it is with me. But on the other hand, if my cup is full and it's overflowing, I will absorb the infractions of other people and take their guff a little bit easier than if it's low. Make sense? It can improve your relationship with your kids. If your cup is full and you intentionally prioritize God, exchange your worry for His trust, and let His peace fill your life, He pours into your life, and you journey through the week, let me tell you, you will be a more attractive person to be around. You know why? You're living in the overflow. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, in today's day and age, it's tough raising kids. I mean, it's a challenge. It really is. But as a parent, when your heart is full, you can just kind of deal with stuff better. And it applies in every direction, even with people at your office, people that are hard to get along with. If your cup is overflowing, you can kind of go with it and flow with it a little easier in life. So live life from a place where you live life from the overflow. And here's another picture. My cup overflows with your blessings. Love reigns over my future. How does it do that? The stuff that bugs me, worries me, drags me down, I go to prayer and I try to do the exchange. It's because His mercy and grace, He promises it. So I try to exchange my worry for His peace. Number two, I make a predetermined decision. I'm going to honor God with my life. I'm not going to let Sunday get bumped out of the way on a regular basis. I'm going to be in church. You know why? I'll let God speak to me. He'll fill my cup. Daily devotions. Try and weave that into the flow of the day. The more you do that, the more full your cup will be. Something during the week, you know, get involved in different ways. Your cup will get filled up more fully. And then, wow, David says, my cup overflows. Live life from the overflow position. It's the best place to be. Stuff happens, but I tell you, you can handle it a whole lot better because your cup is full of His love and it flows over to other people. Here's my final slide as I wrap it up. Let me read the big and the small print words. God has the final word on your life, and His word is grace. Now, let me just define or explain what that means. If you let God have the final word on your life, you live it in light of His mercy and grace. You lean into it. It's called forgiveness. It's called having the sense of connection and union with Him. And when grace is at work in our lives, it transforms us. The person I was a week or 2 weeks or a month ago, I'm different. I'm better. I'm a better version of me. I'm not perfect, but grace, when I give God that latitude in my life, He changes me. He makes me the better version of myself. If God has the final word on your life, His grace will abound in such a way that your cup overflows. And when you go forward in life, your love The love he has for you will just abound in such a way that you'll feel full within yourself and be a blessing to others. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to take just a few moments and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He'll show you what the issues are in your heart. And the first thing is this sense of worry. Do you have any high anxiety or worry in your life that you just need to bring to him? Do the exchange this moment. Surrender it to him. Say, God, here it is. Do the impossible. Make it work. Give me strength. I need your help. Paul says when you do that, he will give you his peace in exchange. Trust untroubles a troubled heart. Number two, your predetermined decisions. What do you need to do different this week to honor God? Maybe it's your daily devotionals. You need to step up. Or maybe it's some engagement during the week. Or it's just the steadiness of being in church saying, you know what? I'm going to make it a weekly decision to go to God's house, just to honor him with my life. Make those prioritized decisions right now. And lastly, live in the overflow. I want you to be honest with God right now. And if your life feels like a rock, tell him that. And say, God, I'm going to believe your word that you can open the rock and let water gush out like a river. Say, God, I'm going to believe you that today, this moment, in an encounter with you, your water will flow through my life, your love, in a new way from this moment on. And for any person here that's never really surrendered their heart to Christ, here's a simple prayer you can pray silently. Father, thank you that you love me. I want love to reign in my future. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask Jesus Christ into my life to be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. For this, I give you thanks. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can have an encounter with you, that your love can mark our lives in such a way that it can reign over our futures as we remain abiding and connecting with you, which is the vine. I pray you bless every person here today, and may they live in the overflow this week. All because they've honored you today, they came to church, they've heard your word, they heard the truth, and you will just gush forth water and life out of their beings in a new way, in order that they will live in the overflow of your goodness to them. And for this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.